Hi, I'm Maya Trabulsi, news anchor for KPBS Evening Edition. Nonprofit public media is a crucial part of our community. And because public media is here for everyone, everyone can get involved. Share why you support KPBS on social media today during Public Media Giving Days. And thanks.
Good morning, I'm Debbie Cruz. It's Friday, April 19th. Oceanside will get over $11 million in state funding to move people into housing. More on that next. But first, let's do the headlines. The county is set to conduct its first routine aerial larvicide drop of the year next week. The goal is to stop mosquitoes from spreading diseases like West Nile. Helicopters will drop the larvicide on up to 52 waterways to cover nearly 1,400 acres of hard-to-reach mosquito breeding areas. The county conducts the drops about once a month from April through October. The county says the larvicide does not hurt people or pets, but kills mosquito larvae before they can grow into biting mosquitoes. Although West Nile virus is mainly a bird disease, mosquitoes can pass the potentially deadly virus to people by feeding on infected birds and then biting people. One way you can stop mosquitoes from breeding at home is by dumping out any item that can hold water, like plant saucers, buckets, and garbage cans. The San Diego Public Library this week launched a new program to help youth continue to rent books and participate in library programs. The Fresh Start program will erase any past debts owed by library cardholders under the age of 18 and lift suspensions on those accounts. According to the public library, there are more than 2,700 people under the age of 18 whose accounts are suspended because they did not return items. You can apply for the program online at www.sandiego.gov/public-library/fresh-start or visit a San Diego Public Library branch. Former SDSU basketball player Kawhi Leonard will be playing on the U.S. Olympic men's basketball team this summer. The roster consists of 12 NBA players who will be led by the Golden State Warriors coach. Team USA men's basketball team won the gold medal in the last Olympic Games in 2021. The U.S. will begin Olympic play on July 28th against Serbia in Lille, France. Then the knockout and medal rounds of the Olympic tournament will be played in Paris. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Hi, I'm Bill Hohen.
And I'm Ted Hohen.
Over the past 50 years, our family has brought many world-class dealerships to Carlsbad, including Mercedes-Benz, Porsche, Audi, Honda, Acura, Jaguar, and Land Rover.
That's right. This year we're celebrating 50 years in Carlsbad.
So on behalf of the entire Hohen family, we want to thank San Diego. Throughout the years, we've taken tremendous pride in meeting and even exceeding our customers' automotive needs.
We value the relationships with our clients and look forward to serving you for years to come. We invite you to visit one of the Hohen Carlsbad dealerships or hohenmotors.com.
Governor Newsom yesterday announced nearly $192 million in grant funding to help clear homeless encampments and move people into housing. North County reporter Alexander Wynn says the grant will fund 20 projects in 17 communities across the state, including one North County city.
Oceanside is the only city in San Diego County to receive this grant from the California Interagency Council on Homelessness. The agency says the city had a strong proposal to move people from encampments to housing. The city will receive roughly $11.4 million. Mayor Esther Sanchez says the city is excited to receive the funding.
This is not something we had to do, but for our community, that's what, you know, we do feel like we have to do this. We have to. And once we're successful there, that will lead us to being more successful in other areas of encampments.
In the announcement, Governor Newsom referenced the recent audit criticizing the state for failing to track the effectiveness of homeless programs. He says that's not acceptable and there will be real-time engagement with cities to monitor progress. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
Supporters of the Homelessness, Drug Addiction, and Theft Reduction Act say they have enough signatures to get the measure on the November ballot. Reporter John Carroll spells out how the measure would amend an already existing law.
The act is designed to address what supporters say are the unintended consequences of Prop 47. That 2014 measure made some felony theft and drug offenses misdemeanors. The new measure would return most of those to felonies.
That will balance Proposition 47 and other laws and allow us to have safer neighborhoods, safer businesses.
At a Thursday news conference, District Attorney Summer Steffen said drug addiction is the cause of most homelessness today. Tyler Renner with the nonprofit People Assisting the Homeless says that's not true.
There's so much research and evidence and data to show that it is because of the lack of housing. They intersect, this issue intersects with, you know, substance use and mental illness, but it is not the main driver or the cause.
Supporters of the proposed measure say they have hundreds of thousands more signatures than are needed to put the measure on the November ballot. The Secretary of State will now determine whether enough of those signatures are valid. John Carroll, KPBS News.
The first Robotics World Championships are underway in Houston, and 9 high school teams from the county are competing. Education reporter MG Perez is there and met up with the Lincoln High School's rookie dream team.
They say everything's bigger in Texas, and the Steel Stingers of Lincoln High School have come a long way for their big moments with a big robot they designed and built. Nicholas Lopez is one of the lead team members.
My responsibility here is to kind of coach our driver and controller about what's going on in the game so that they can stay focused on driving the robot, and I can focus on the strategy and making sure everything goes right.
Things did go right in the first match with a big win. Match 2, there was a bump in the road with a head-on collision and a torn cable, leaving the team out of power but not out of hope. Kevin Casillas is on the team.
Okay. We touch the wire again, we're good to go.
What are you feeling?
I'm pretty relaxed, yeah. Nothing, it's a small, minor problem we can fix right now.
The Lincoln Steel Stingers are also enjoying the ride. In Houston, MG Perez, KPBS News.
The competition runs through tomorrow. There's a lot happening over the weekend in the county, and we have you covered with all the details. First, the nonprofit I Love a Clean San Diego and the City of San Diego are teaming up to host the 22nd annual Creek to Bay cleanup tomorrow. Reporter Melissa May tells us last year's cleanup diverted nearly 100,000 pounds of litter and debris from county waterways.
Organizers say the annual Earth Week Creek to Bay cleanup is the region's largest one-day environmental volunteer effort. Thousands of San Diegans of all ages are expected to participate. Steve Morris with I Love a Clean San Diego says 80% of ocean litter starts inland near creeks, rivers, and storm drains.
So we came up with the name the Creek to Bay Cleanup so people would make that connection between trash starting in a creek and ending up in the bay and then eventually the ocean.
About a quarter of the cleanup sites are in unincorporated parts of the county, as well as 3 sites in Mexico. The Creek to Bay cleanup is tomorrow from 9 a.m. to noon. To see all the participating sites and to register, go to cleansd.org. Melissa May, KPBS News.
You can also celebrate Mother Earth at the La Mesa Earth Day Fair tomorrow. The free family-friendly event will feature hands-on activities and sustainable products and resources focused on environmental conservation and education. At the event, you can take a garden tour, enjoy arts and crafts, face painting, astro jumps, food trucks, and more. Kids will have an opportunity to participate in a bicycle skills course, so make sure they bring a bike and helmet. The event starts at 11 a.m. and goes until 3 p.m. at MacArthur Park in La Mesa. Tomorrow's the 54th Chicano Park Day commemoration in Barrio Logan. The day marks a special anniversary. Joining me to talk about it is the chairman of the Chicano Park Steering Committee, Lucas Cruz. Lucas, welcome to the San Diego News Now podcast.
No, thank you guys for having me.
Every year, San Diegans gather to commemorate the takeover of Chicano Park on the Saturday closest to April 22nd. What is the significance of this date?
Yeah, the significance is it's a moment where the community of Logan Heights and the greater Chicano community of San Diego is able to come together and celebrate a victory that we had. You know, more often than not, Our history starts us from a place of defeat. You know, in school, they teach us about the conquest. They teach us about Hernan Cortez and the conquering of the Aztecs. And, you know, we always feel like we just started from there and we're supposed to be thankful where we're at now. But with the history of Chicano Park, we're able to hear and learn that a Chicano community in San Diego was able to successfully kick out a highway patrol station and stand up to the police department, stand up to the city of San Diego, the state of California, and be victorious.
If you can tell us a little bit more about the protest and how it was resolved.
Yeah, so the protest began on April 22nd, 1970, when a brown beret by the name of Mario Solis was walking down Logan Avenue and noticed construction beginning on what was to be a highway patrol station parking lot. When he asked the people who were operating the bulldozer what they were working on, and they told him it was going to be a highway patrol station, they immediately put word out. And before you know it, there were over 200 people taking over the land. And it wasn't just a one-day thing. It was a 12-day occupation. People stayed there day and night because they knew that the moment they left the city of San Diego, we could just continue with business as usual. And what makes it special is it wasn't trained activists. You know, it was community members. It was grandmothers, grandfathers, kids, parents, students. It was a collection of just working class people who were fed up of the state and the city, just telling them what their neighborhood was going to look like and what was best for them.
Right. People can visit Chicano Park year-round. Can you describe the park for listeners that may not be familiar with it?
Yeah, Chicano Park, it's beautiful. It is under the Coronado Bridge. It is full of these giant cement pylons, but what's different is that they're actually covered in murals. We're the largest collection of Chicano murals, and we're pretty much an outdoor museum. So when you come to the park, you'll see a statue of Zapata in the center next to our kiosco. And I want to make it clear the kiosco is not a stage. It's our ceremonial temple. You know, there we have funerals, we've had baptisms. So there's a lot of always activities going on, and it's just the beautiful murals that adorn the park are always just, you know, our beautiful surroundings.
How do you describe the significance of the park to the community?
I would say it's our sacred temple. You know, like for us, like when you come to the park, and the beautiful thing about it is anybody inside of the park will tell you what it means to them right off the bat. They'll see you taking pictures, they'll come up to you and start talking to you and giving you the history, telling you how their family's connected, because everybody within the park has roots to it, whether they're more newfound, where people have found the park and they just want to be here every day and they help pick up trash and they help clean up the areas, to some of the older cats in the neighborhood that are there and they can tell you about that takeover, because this park, you know, unlike any other park, it's maintained and controlled by the community. So everybody together through our volunteerism, we all make sure the park looks great, it looks clean, that if there's any issues that need to be addressed, we're the ones that go and resolve it rather than looking to the city.
Can you tell me a little bit more about how Chicano Park, how it's special to you personally?
For me, you know, my grandmother, Tomasa Camarillo, she was there at the takeover of the park. So since then, she's been involved in every single major struggle, and she actually used to chair the committee for the last 40 years. You know, she's still alive, and just due to her health, she's not able to fulfill her role. So for me, growing up in the park, being there, and not by choice as a child, but then growing up and recognizing that it laid a strong foundation for me. And now that I'm in my 30s, I realize I have a responsibility to the youth, you know, that like the experience I had where I learned from all my elders about Chicanismo and what it means to stand up for our gente, I recognize I have to teach the youth that also. And my hope is that we can get these youth to carry on this legacy of Chicano Park for the next cycle of 52 years. But it just means the world to me because the park is, it's my foundation of who I am.
This year's theme for Chicano Park Day is bringing back the true spirit and energy of the Chicano Park takeover. Why did the Chicano Park Steering Committee choose it as this year's theme?
You know, we had to. You know, we had to. And thank you to Joe LeBlanc, who submitted the theme. But with everything that happened last year, there was an influx of alcohol in the event. And we clearly tell everybody this is an alcohol-free event. And when we seen that, and we also seen a lot of people, especially the vendors that came, we had to honor those from 2020. So everybody was carryover. But a lot of the vendors that came, you know, they came to make money off of our community. And then a lot of them are from out of town. So they would take the money out of our community and left our residents kind of asking questions like, how come we don't have the opportunity to vend here? Or how come, you know, they come in and they just sell our culture to us and then they leave? And we had to sit and reflect, you know, and recognize like, hey, we have a responsibility to our own community here to make sure that they feel heard and also that they're prioritized. So we made sure this year, like taking it back to the roots, it's the community of Chicano Park. So any of the Chicanos throughout San Diego that have supported us throughout the year, that's who we're targeting for vending. You know, we're not going to have food vendors this year. because of the price gouging that we've seen where people were charging $20 for three tacos. It's ridiculous. You know, we're in a promise zone. We're a low-income community. And with that, now they want us to pay $20 for three tacos just because they feel they can. Like, it wasn't right. So we're trying to make sure we take it back to the roots. And we're also making sure the music and cultural performances, poetry, and speakers are at the forefront so we can make sure people know that there's a responsibility for us as Chicanos to preserve these traditions.
What else can people expect at tomorrow's event?
They can expect two new areas. You know, with that focus of taking it back to the roots, we wanted to prioritize the kids in the community. So we have a new muralist area. So right across the street by the basketball courts, all of the Chicano Park muralists are getting together. They're going to have an art show. They'll have art display. There'll be free coloring books for the kids, and they'll have some art activities. We also have the kids art area where the kids can go and they can work with two local graph artists, Strive and Mex, and they can do different kids activities with all the volunteers. And that was spearheaded originally by Victor Ochoa. And then across the street in the Placita side by the skate park, we're going to have our first kids play area. So we're going to have a little train that goes around the park and tells people the history of the park. We'll have some other kids activities there for the kids to enjoy.
I heard about the flag raising event. It has a special significance. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh yeah, that's my personal favorite part of the day. So with the flag raising every year to commemorate the takeover of the park, we raise the flag of Aslan, which is a flag that is green, white, and red. And in the center, there's the Tres Caras, the mestizo face. And then we also raise the Chicano Park Steering Committee flag. And we do that because during the takeover, I wish I could remember the young man's name, but a young man, he climbed up a light post and he tied the flag of Aslan on that light post when the takeover was occurring to say, this is our reclaimed piece of Aslan. So since then, every year, even during COVID, when we didn't have a big celebration or commemoration in the park, we made sure that we were out there and raising that flag on the 22nd of April. And we will continue to do so until the end of our time, you know, because it's when Chicano Park was taken over the next year, it was declared a Chicano holiday. And we have that thanks to the documentation of my grandmother, a flyer that says this is declared a Chicano holiday. All flags throughout Aslan should be raised at full staff.
I've been speaking with the chairman of the Chicano Park Steering Committee, Lucas Cruz. Lucas, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for joining me on the San Diego News Now podcast.
No, thank you for having us.
I hope you have a great Chicano Park Day celebration tomorrow.
No, thank you, and give you la raza.
The Chicano Park Day celebration is tomorrow from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. That's it for the podcast today. This podcast is produced by Emmalyn Mohebi and edited by Brooke Ruth. We'd like to thank editor Nick McVicker for helping the podcast team this week. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Join us again on Monday to start the new week together with the day's top stories. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
Hi, I'm Maya Tribulsi, news anchor for KPBS Evening Edition. At KPBS, we're storytellers, providing trusted, accurate news and information to our community. But not everyone realizes how important that is. And that's why we're asking you to tell that story during Public Media Giving Days. Share what inspires you on KPBS. Text, call, or post with hashtag Public Media Gives. And thanks.